Guess who's back, 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 back again, again, again. Guess who's... Yeah, it's me. Hi. Hi, welcome back to the Filthy Creepy Podcast. I know I've had a very long break. I can emphasize the fact that I worked at a summer camp where it was just insane amounts of work. The previous summer school I worked at, I could do my podcast alongside it, but this one, it was like, yeah, no breaks at all. So I couldn't, and then I'd be looking after my nephew. I've also went and traveled for like 5 weeks, my family, and it's just quite hard, like bringing the whole podcast set up and recording, especially when you just want to spend some time with your family and my little nephew. But when I was away traveling, I went and saw an exhibition at the Tate St Ives, which is, if you don't know where that is, it's in Cornwall, and the exhibition was called the Casablanca Art School, and I did enjoy this exhibition. It was really colourful, very bold, and yeah, today I want to discuss that exhibition with you, so let's do it. The Casablanca Art School exhibition was one I really wanted to go to. I try to go to the Tate St Ives once a year, just because I have a place in Cornwall, and it is the most, well, in my opinion, the most interesting and definitely the largest contemporary art gallery in Cornwall. And this exhibition really caught my eye because it's about art school, and I've just graduated from art school with a first, if I may say so myself. So it was cool to see an exhibition which showcased what art school was like in a different country, this country being Morocco. So yeah, I like this exhibition. It's very colourful, as I said. And this exhibition, what they do in a lot of the Tate, well, all the Tate exhibitions I've seen at Tate St Ives, like the big ones, they kind of break it up into different segments, so it's more palatable. And when you walk in, they have this like big title, you know, the Casablanca Art School, and then a little bit of, I guess, like a curatorial statement almost by the curators, and I'll just paraphrase a bit. So they kind of discussed how in response to Moroccan independence, staff and students at the Casablanca Art School, I'll just call it CAS from now on because it's quite a mouthful, prompted an artistic revolution. They integrated abstract art with Arab and Amazigh traditions. I probably said that wrong. Inspired by the region's rugs, jewelry, calligraphy, and painted ceilings, declaring a new art from Morocco, growing from Afro-Berber heritage. This created a social and cultural uprising. So, yeah, it's an exhibition kind of showcasing all those different mediums. It's a very broad range of mediums. You have, like, tapestry, carpets, weaving. You got some sculpture. You've got some paintings. Really is inspiring. Graphic design. The exhibition explores a distinct vision for modern life driven by five influential teachers at the school. Farida Belkaya, Mohamed Shababa, Bert Flint, Tony Marinini, and Mohamed Mahili. Again, sorry if I said the names wrong. Known informally as the Casablanca Group. This legendary collective proved to be a network of artists that spanned generations. The first museum exhibition on their work and legacies unites... Oh, this is the first museum exhibition of this sort, and it unites 22 artists from its art school, and you can see the different mediums, as I said earlier, abstract paintings, urban murals, craft, graphics, interior design, typography, and also film and vintage journals and photographs and print archives. So it really is a very like historical exhibition. So for me, someone that loves history, that's great. I gotta say, the work itself, like some of the work I liked, some of the work I was just like, this isn't my sort of thing. Quite like abstract, and I'm not like an abstract artist. I don't really lean into abstraction in terms of the art I favor, but I can still respect the skill that's gone into it. So the first, I guess, like segment of the exhibition is called Creating Collectively. And this part, again, they had a little bit of an intro into it. And basically they discuss how in the first years of being director, Farid Belkaya invited Tony Marini to establish Morocco's first modern art history course. And they also had a painter, Mohamed Mahini and Mohamed Shaba, who is graphic designer, as tutors. So very like broad in terms of the skill set of the faculty. And this faculty merged ideas from art, craft, design, architecture, and they looked at different schools of thought from especially from the Bauhaus Design School in Germany. And the Bauhaus Design School is, you know, it's one of the most famous design schools in the world. And alongside their students, the teachers began to dismantle Western styles and methods like easel and oil painting previously taught at the school. Instead, classes encouraged research into Arab and Amazigh heritage, with trips to study archaeology, calligraphy, jewelry, pottery, religious paintings and techniques from leatherwork, tattoos and weaving. So this is nice. It's kind of like, hey, let's not only be influenced by maybe more traditional Western styles, let's actually be influenced by our own heritage. And I like that kind of ownership over what you're going to be influenced by and that creative autonomy. I think that's great. So I would say, I would describe a lot of the work, well, most of the paintings I'll describe as very flat, almost a bit like color field painting, very like flat, almost kind of like Roy Lichtenstein, like pop art, like just flat, like pieces of color in like very abstract shapes. I admired the skill that's gone into painting like lines as neat as they did. My mom was not very impressed, but that's life. Everyone has different opinions and that's fine. One thing I like about the Tate exhibitions at St. Ives, they probably do it across all the Tate galleries, but this is the Tate gallery I've been to the most and the most recently. They have these little like exhibition booklets that are super like cheap to make, and they're really like, I love them because they fit in your pocket and they're just like really easy and very beautiful. And that was really informative with information about like the artists and the artworks. And it's free also. So if you do go check out this exhibition, I definitely recommend grabbing one of them. It's at the front by like the big curatorial statement I mentioned earlier. So yeah, this section, they had like this sculptural artwork, and then they had like this like circular painting on the wall, but like the whole wall was covered. It was almost like a wallpaper. And I was down the corridor before I entered the exhibition, and I saw this like wallpaper, like big circular thing, and I was like, wow. And it reminded me a lot of Ab Minolti's exhibition in that same room, because in that room, that's where they have like their like non-permanent exhibition. So they've had this one before. They've had like a retrospective Barbara Hepworth. They had a show by Ab Minolti. The Ab Minolti one was definitely my favorite. That one was so colorful. And so it was really interesting seeing this room and like how many different exhibitions they've had in it and how they've like utilized the space for those different exhibitions. That's just something I love about going back and seeing the changing exhibitions and just seeing how the creators have utilized the space. It's really fun for me. Yeah. The next section was making art public. And so this is all about like outdoor exhibitions and how modern art could interact with everyday Moroccan life. And by this time, a few other artists, Mohamed Atalana, Mustafa Hafid, and Mohamed Hamidi, had joined the faculty. And the faculty were quite frustrated because for more than 10 years after independence, nothing had been organized by or for Moroccan artists, with few galleries to show their work. So in kind of response to this frustration, they began to develop their street exhibitions. And I just think this is great. This is like, you know, okay, this state or whatever, you know, they are not providing for us. Let's just do it off our own back. Let's just provide for ourselves. And they also protested the state-organized Salon des Printemps, which means Spring Fair Exhibition. Can't tell if it's Francais. Salon des Printemps, which was a colonial relic that categorized Moroccan artists as naive painters, which is, as you can imagine, quite a condescending way to like describe someone. So in two events, Cass artists brought their art onto the streets. They installed paintings and murals in public squares, invigorating Marrakesh's Medina, which is like a historic district, and in Casablanca. Tony Marini described how people from all walks of life gathered in a unique state of mind and how their work was hung there for 10 days. And so this is really exciting. It's bringing art out of, I guess, like the white cube and into the public domains where people who might not have gone to galleries before can interact with the art. This nomadic exhibition was also taken to high schools in Casablanca in 1971, reaching a next generation audience. And I think that's great, honestly. I think it's brilliant to get school kids involved in arts and get people, as I said earlier, people who may not have previously been into the art, get them engaged. And one thing I did like about this exhibition, they had a lot of ephemera from the time. So like posters that had been made for exhibition pamphlets, photographs. And it really did feel like these events were very well documented, which is good because quite often you'll find that maybe art movements haven't been well documented, especially ones that maybe aren't the most famous art movements. Like I had never heard of the Casablanca Art School. Maybe I'm just naive. I don't know. But yeah, I really liked how the curators paid like respect and showing these like exhibition posters, all this stuff, because this just further shows the hardworking nature of the artists. And in this area of the exhibition, they had this like carpet weaving. And for me, as someone that does tufting, a lot of textile art, that was really cool to see like a 3D art. It wasn't like my works in terms of it wasn't like the colors were quite earth color. And like I like working really bright colors. So it wasn't like my favorite color palette, but I could respect the work that had gone into making this large carpet. I'm not going to go into every single section of this show just because there are quite a few. I'd say one that stood out to me was the graphic design section, because I think graphic design isn't like respected as like maybe an art form. So seeing such a large gallery like give it its own section within a contemporary art exhibition was really quite cool to see. And in this section, the little write-up beginning explains how the Cass tutor, Mohammed Sharba, expressed the poster is a painting that is accessible to all. And I think that's a really like sweet way of describing posters and marketing and graphic design. And Cass artists use graphic design to place their art into public life. In the school workshops, traditional mediums like painting were enhanced with design strategies. Tutor Mohammed Mahili combined painting with collage and opened a pioneering photography studio with Shabba teaching decoration, scenography, and neocalligraphy. Mahili and Shabba co-designed the journal Souffles, as with many of the posters and books displayed in the exhibition, they had like lots of the posters and books displayed. And Mahili describes souffle, as a thought-provoking blend of poetry, literature, and culture critique. Their aspire to decolonize and democratize Moroccan arts and culture. The journal was published from 1966 until its ban in 1972, when Shabba, who was the sole designer, was imprisoned as a Marxist activist under Moroccan power. The founder and poet Adelphi Labi was imprisoned for 8 years for cultural activism. So you can really see how like the state are trying to censor this very like beautiful thing. Like I think this journal sounds pretty amazing. Shabba established Studio 400 for graphic interior design, and Malehi opened Shuf Publishing and Graphic Studio. Their work reflects their political commitments, including designing posters and logos in solidarity with Anglican and Palestinian people and resistance movements. Yeah, and the graphic design area was so colourful and bright, and I loved it. It reminded me a lot of journals I've seen before, but these were just, they just had like a nicer color palette. And I just thought it was cool how they had their own section in the exhibition, like graphic design. I really liked that. In terms of artworks, it stood out for me. As I said earlier, this is not my favorite exhibition in terms of artworks, but I'd say one that definitely did stand out was one by Mohamed Mahili, and it was called Untitled. And I hate when artwork's called Untitled, unless it's like for a conceptual reason. I do think it's kind of lazy, but no, I did like this one. I loved how like flat it was. And when I was looking at it, like, I respect painters. I respect the graph they have. I respect like how much work goes into painting. And this one has also been made into prints that have also been sold. So, you know, good on him. And I really liked his works. I think that they have quite a graphic design element to them, but the fact that they are paintings is just interesting in themselves. So yeah, this exhibition, I do recommend it. In terms of the work, did I love the work? No. But I think the curating of this exhibition, I think that's just what interested me the most. In the description, I'm going to put any links to like info about the exhibition that I've researched. And definitely do go check it out, honestly, because although it wasn't like my favorite exhibition and the works weren't my favorite, I just think the story of the art school is so inspiring. And if you're looking at like how to make avant-garde art, or, you know, resist art of resistance, or if you're interested in kind of decolonizing the canon of art history, definitely learn about this art school. And yeah, it's Taste and Types is really hard to get to, so if you can't get there, just like read and learn about this art school, and maybe if you can learn anything from them. But yeah, that was the Casper School of Art. Usually I do like break up the exhibition review in different segments, but to be honest, this exhibition, like, I didn't have loads to say about it. Like, I think there's some exhibitions where I'm a lot more passionate about them. I think this exhibition was like, oh, it was good, but it isn't one where I'd be like, oh, I really want to go back there again. I think if it was like a feminist exhibition, or, you know, an exhibition that really aligned with like my practice, then I'd be like, oh, I've got loads to say. There is an exhibition coming up at Tate Britain I really want to see. I think it's like a retrospective, like, feminist artists. Yeah, it's not for a few months, but yeah, I really want to see that. A bit of life update on me, I just thought I should say. I am graduating next week. I did get a first. I've booked for one of the old students at my university. She's a photographer. And I've booked like a 1-hour photo shoot after the graduation, just because it takes really long to wait for the graduation photos to go take them. So if the queue is really long, I probably won't get a university like official one. I'll probably just like have this photo shoot I'm having. I know that can seem vain, but to be honest, you only graduate from your undergrad degree once. Okay, well, most people, unless you're one of those people who have two undergrads, I'll never understand it, you know. You only graduate once from it. And so yeah, I think this is a great opportunity. My parents aren't that excited. I'm like, guys, okay, we're gonna have photos, and like it's cool, and they're like, we don't really care. But never mind. I think it's great, and I think it'll be nice to make memories with my family, and just have like, I think there's so many times where you go to an event and you only have your phone, and the photo's always terrible, and you're just like, oh, I wish I had this in like HD. I could bring my own camera, but I just want to relax and enjoy the day and let someone else take the photos. So yeah, I'll put them on my Instagram and my website, because I'm so proud to have graduated. In terms of what I'm doing now, I was actually offered 3 grad jobs, which is good going. I declined them all, though. One of them I'd accepted, and just before, like, they promised me things, and then they were like, no, we can't do that. And so I had to, like, pull out. Like, the things they promised me were what, you know, got me to take the job in the first place. So currently now, I am, well, 3 days a week I'm working as a babysitter for my nephew, and then I've applied to quite a few jobs, and I'm just a few of them, like, I'm in different stages applications, really. I'm just waiting to hear back. I'm also selling a lot of stuff on Vinted, so trying to save some money with that. But yeah, so I was going to be moving out of home. I was going to be living at this job, but that's not happening now. But it's fine, because I get to see my nephew more, which is great. And I got an early driving test for 9th of December. So yeah, I'll be doing that. In terms of my art, I should probably talk about my art. I have had a big break. As I said, I worked a really intense summer job and I've traveled a bit. I've started just recently getting more into it. And it's just been difficult with traveling and stuff. But no, I've got a few ideas. And to be honest, it's just about sitting down and doing it. But I know over the next few days, I definitely am going to do some tufting. I've got some old linen, but it goes on your table. It's not a tablecloth though. It's like a little table decoration, like table cover thing. But it's not a tablecloth, like a table runner. And it's like lace, and I want to embroider on that, like maybe like a feminist slogan about like having a seat at the table. I don't know. The hard thing is I'm so critical. Like most of my ideas, whenever I have them, I'm like, oh, that's terrible. But it actually might be good. I don't go to uni anymore, and like I'm not in contact really with anyone from uni, so it's hard because you have like no one to bounce ideas off. But I am on the White Pubes Discord, so I might speak to some people on there. But yeah, that is what's going on so far, and yeah, boom. I want to speak about the podcast, the future. I do want to do episodes. Now I'm thinking like every 2 weeks or once a month. I'm probably going to do every 2 weeks because I need something to like incentivize me to keep working on my arc. It's like, oh, I've got to tell my listeners, however many. I actually don't look at my analytics. Like literally, this is just something I do for fun. So if anyone is listening, hello. But yeah, anywho, I'm not in art school, so obviously like I can't really talk about art school anymore, like in terms of, oh, we did this in art school. So I think more will be about like exhibition reviews. I'm so excited to see one of my old he's not old, but like he was a tutor at my uni. I helped like lead a workshop for Static Art Club with him. He is having his solo show at Icon Gallery, and I'm just like, he's at Artist in Residence, so I'm just like, oh my god, I know him, so I'm gonna go there, see that. I don't think I'll do a review on that though, because it's just a bit too, like, I know him and I feel like it's a bit too personal, like reviewing his show. But I definitely do want to talk about it. So yeah, I want to go to Icon and see that. There's also, I'll see what's on the Wolverhampton Art Gallery, because I'll definitely, basically, in Cornwall, the only gallery I really go to is the Tate & Ives, and then where I live, there's no galleries. Shrewsbury, there's no, like, there are contemporary art galleries, but there's no, like, big contemporary art galleries. Then Wolves, you've got the Wolverhampton Art Gallery in Birmingham. Icon is the only gallery I feel comfortable going to by myself. Grand Union and like East Side, like they're in Digbeth, and like my parents don't like me going there by myself, and my parents won't want to go to Digbeth because it's, I don't know, they just don't want to go there. So I don't know, I need to work out how to see that stuff. I'll probably have to get a taxi there from Birmingham New Street, and then I don't know. But definitely some exhibition reviews and just kind of talking about I don't know how my work's going, and anything I've applied for. I don't get accepted to bloody any open any open calls though. But you know what, failure is cool. Yeah, whatever. Thanks so much for listening. I hope this like exhibition review was cool, and hi if you miss me. Yeah, and what else I've been doing. So yeah, my nephew, also I'm super into skincare. I've since like we spoke, I have like rejuvenated my skincare routine. I got a lot of Korean skincare in there now. I just love skincare so much. I'm actually like pretty obsessed, and it's a problem. But Korean skincare is cheaper than English skincare, so let's just deal with that. But yeah, I am excited to be back doing the podcast. It's just hard when you're traveling and when you're looking after, like, I lived with my nephew for a very long time after he was born, and you can't really record a podcast with a baby in the house because they're either making loads of noise or they're sleeping and you gotta be really quiet. So yeah, but to be honest, I would never change anything. Like, he's amazing. But yeah, thanks so much for listening. I hope this was helpful. Anything I've mentioned, I'll link in the description. And yeah, thank you so much. Stay well, stay cool, and stay awesome.